This edition of Club Chronicles. These are a series of interviews with club members who have some particularly interesting things and significant stories to tell relating in some way to the 150th anniversary, which you will know is taking place this year, 2024. We're delighted that Anne Glowry has joined us today, someone many of you will know, and a long-time member of the club and a long-time resident of Cheltenham as well, as I understand it. You were also a magistrate in Cheltenham for some 20 years. So who better to tell us something about the way the club has changed since the 1980s? So if we can start, Anne, when did you first hear about the new club and what decided you to become a member?
Well, of course, when in the 80s, when I first came into the club, women were not permitted to be members, but I was introduced as a guest by my late husband, who was a member. At that time, there were no lady members. It was a club founded by very senior members of the forces and certainly portrayed the old world men's club. Or gentlemen's club, I should say.
Things were starting to change about that time.
Oh, yes. Well, I think one of the big things was finances. The clubs always struggled, I think, with finances. And this was, in fact, why women were invited to become members, because I think they just wanted our money.
Oh.
But we were still not able to go into the main bar.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very strictly upheld, and there were very much tutting if you put one foot over the threshold.
So I think you've also have said to me in the past there was a lot of huffing and puffing going on.
Oh, definitely. Well, you know, I was very surprised, because at that time there were quite a lot of very elderly gentlemen who still had Victorian attitudes to both women and to gentlemen's clubs.
Yes. So, but at that time, I think the ladies did have a lounge that you could use, and of course the restaurant was open to ladies.
Yes.
Initially, as long as you were invited by a gentleman,
yes.
I understand.
I'm not sure about that. I can't quite remember whether we were sort of barred from the dining room, but certainly there was very much the women were suffered in the club.
But you had a nice little lounge, didn't you? Coffee lounge
it,
or not
the door,
really?
The room opposite, the room as you come in from the club, the one on the right, it wasn't particularly comfortable, it wasn't particularly well furnished, but we were tolerated in there.
Yeah. Who was managing the club at that time?
Well, I'm pretty sure it was Norma Hall. Now, Norma was here for a very long time, and in fact, when she did retire, she was made an honorary member because she had given the club such a good service.
Yes, yeah.
And she certainly kept control of what was going on.
Yeah.
But before that, they'd had several elderly people, and one of the lovely things, I think, was that the men in those days would come into the club for drinks at 6, while the women at home were putting the children to bed and preparing supper. So they would only go home when supper was ready. And the manageress at that time would take a phone call, and she might come in and she'll say, Dr. Rogers, are you here or not? And he would say, no, I'm on my way home.
Those were the days. Those
yes,
were the days.
Yeah, yeah.
But who was running the bar?
Well, I think, as far as my memory goes, we had Helen, not the Helen we sometimes see here now, another Helen, and Elaine. And, of course, Elaine then later took over as manageress.
Yes.
When Norma left.
So that was Elaine Merry, wasn't it, that
That's
I think
right.
many people
yes.
will probably remember. But what about the food? Who was the chef at that time?
Well, as far as I can remember, it was very much nursery food. You know, there was a gentleman's table every day, and there would probably be about 8 gentlemen each day would come in for their lunch, and it was probably the main that they were, a lot of them were either bachelors or widowers, so they would come in and have their lunch, and that was their main meal for the day. But it was definitely sort of stew and dumplings and spotted dick for pudding. It was very much nursery food. Yeah, so exactly what they wanted.
And not what the ladies particularly wanted.
This certainly wasn't fine dining, no.
But while you were there, you were quite active as a lady member, but weren't you invited to join the committee about that time?
Yes, I did. It was the late, well, it'd been to the 90s that I became a member on the committee. It was at that time that we were then able to sort of think about the food because, well, first we dealt with the refurbishment of the club. That was also done on a shoestring, and Jean Jenkins helped me with that. There was Chris Wiseman became the chairman in the mid-90s, I think, and he was a very active member. He had painting parties, he had all sorts, and they really brought the club up to a much better standard of furnishing of. Well, they completely refurbished. But Jean and I took care of the furnishings and the design of the club. And in fact, if you look at the dining room, at the bar now, it's red and blue. And people said, oh, you can't put red and blue together. But in fact, I'd been to the bar theatre and I'd seen this and looked at it and thought how very nice it looked. So I came back to Jean and said, how about this? And we did the same thing downstairs. And we're in the dining room and the conference room upstairs here. We have insets in the wall.
Panels.
Yeah, panels on the wall. That I took from the RAF Club because I'm a member of the RAF Club in London. And I suddenly saw these and thought that would make the room much more interesting. So I came back to Chris, and within about 2 days, I'd got my panels everywhere. But, I mean, Jean and I went round to a lot of the furnishings came from IKEA because they was the cheapest ones we could get.
That was then. I mean, there have been refurbishments since, but so many of the things you introduced are still there, aren't they?
The only money we really spent was in the bar and the curtaining in the bar.
Yeah.
That was done, and those are expensive curtains, and they're still there, and they look as good as they did when we put them up.
Now, didn't Jean and Jeff Jenkins were also responsible for another important thing in the club?
Oh, indeed. Jeff and Jean lived in Bishopsgreave, and they used to go to a pub called the King's Arms, and there was a young chef there who cooked everyday meals, but once a month he was keen to bring new food to the area, so he had a gourmet evening, and they went to this every month, this gourmet evening, where he did his surprise meals. You had to guess what was being cooked. And anyway, Jeff said to me, you know, we ought to try and get him. And so we had, we asked, at that time we had a naval chap who I'd interviewed who'd given me the impression he was used to fine dining and wardroom canapes and cocktail parties.
Yes.
But in fact, I think he dealt with mostly, you know, a good meal for the big chaps downstairs. But in fact, I talked to Dave, and Dave had been unwell for some while, and so we managed to persuade him that perhaps he would be better in a different job, and he agreed with us. So in fact, with a fairly kind handshake, he left us.
Yes.
But in good faith, there was no problem because, of course, obviously you couldn't make him redundant because otherwise you couldn't replace him with somebody else.
Yes.
So we then invited Carl to come and join us. Now, at that time, of course, Carl was, well, we're talking 20 years ago, so Carl was probably in his about 30-ish, a very young man, very ambitious, very keen on food. So we got these wonderful new recipes and presentations. And I think he enjoyed himself because he had complete freedom here,
yeah,
which he hadn't anywhere else. And so we were very lucky to get him. And of course, he's still with us now.
Still with us now. And yeah, that was 20 years ago.
Yes.
And at that time, you were head of house.
Yes.
And then you were appointed chairman soon
I
after
was,
that. The very first lady chairman.
The thing was, I was very nervous about even standing for chairman because I thought there was still quite a lot of our old huffing and puffing gentlemen around, and I thought they would possibly leave. Or anyway, one of them, in fact, was a local doctor, and he was quite a close friend, and he said, no, go ahead, you know, I'm sure it'll be fine. So I did, and in fact, the night I was elected chairman, I went downstairs, and he gave me a great big hug and kiss and said, that's the first time I've ever been able to kiss the chairman of the new club.
So those were good times and,
oh,
and
yes,
memorable times.
Yes.
But also there was something very memorable about that time you were with the club in 2003. What happened then?
Well, I've tried to think why we had it in 2003. And I think there was something to do with the college, perhaps, that we weren't able to use the college in 2004. But we wanted to have a 130th anniversary ball. So I think we actually came into the 130th year of the club, although it was 03 as opposed to 04. And so we had on a member here, Marie Journeau, who in fact was something... She was certainly on the committee of the Gloucestershire
She's still
County.
A member today, isn't
yes,
she Marie?
Is indeed. Yes. And in fact, last year, I think it was, she was president of the Gloucestershire County Cricket Club. But anyway, she had some pull with them. And we were offered... The marquees, when they erect them, they divide them in... They are able to divide them into small units or large units. So, in fact, we had what was, in fact, a three-unit marquee, and we had a ball. And we had about 200 people there. We had to have outside caterers because although... Carl was very keen. He was unable to cope with that. But we had outside caterers, we had a band, we had a floor, and of course it's sometime in July. It's a beautiful evening, and of course everybody was in black tie and lovely gowns, and of course the cricket was still going on when we started because we were limited to time. We had to close, we had to be out by 11 because of the hospital.
Yes.
But even the college flood lit the college for us because it looked so picturesque, and it was a beautiful evening, very, very successful evening.
Oh. Well, that's wonderful, especially as we're now in the 150th year, we've got something to live up to.
Absolutely.
And I know that we went on from there and had a marquee at the cricket for many years until they changed their plans, but
yes,
who knows, maybe we'll have an opportunity again.
Well, we
year.
Actually repeated it 5 years later and had another ball, which was just as successful.
Wow. That's really is amazing.
Yes.
So,
but then I think people went to balls in those days, whereas nowadays nobody... It's just too expensive to put those sort of things on now.
That's true. Mm. That's true. Well, thank you very much, Anne, for sharing those memories. But before you go, one last question. As someone who has been a member and remained for many years, what do you enjoy or like about the club today?
Well, I've always felt it was a home from home for me because I was widowed twice, and it was somewhere I could come on my own and be welcomed. And this was part, when I was chairman, it was the thing I did. I had a different attitude to Mosen. I had a more motherly attitude towards men. So I would make sure that I knew everybody. And consequently, I now know most of the people, well, the older people in the club, certainly not all of the new ones, but I do make an effort to see them. But it's always been a very comfortable place to be. And we've been very lucky with staff, I think, because they've always been very accommodating and they have looked after us very well. And I just think it's a sort of, has that old world courtesy that we all hope will last, but in modern times I think it tends to slip a bit because everyone's too busy to think about these things.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Anne. Old world courtesy. It's a nice note to finish on. So thank you, Anne, for all those reflections.
Well, thank you.
Really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you.